All right, everybody. I'd like to introduce our next keynote presentation here. You know, I'd love to give a long, lengthy intro, but he told me that he has a lot to get through. So without further ado, Brent Todd from Canaccord Genuity.
Might have to move this up a bit. Thanks, Robert, and thanks, Small Cap Discoveries, Trevor, Paul. Awesome event. I'm not surprised that this room's a little fuller this year than last year for some good reasons, which are microcaps are winning again. So let's get into it. I'm going to introduce myself, Brent Todd. I work with Canaccord Genuity. Been a broker for 37 years. Been in a small cap, microcap strategy for 25 years. We're going to circle back. Last year, we recommended at the end of my presentation, one company, the ADF Group, was at $4.50. In the next year, that stock actually hit $18-$19. Today, it's, I think, $11 and change. We put it up against NVIDIA, which was the large cap titan at the time. I said I'd rather own DRX. DRX, if you see, did actually outperform NVIDIA. It was a little closer than I actually thought it would be. But again, here's the stock at one point, was up 300% since last year's conference. So great to see. Okay, we're going to do today's talk is going to be why me? Why am I up here talking to you guys? It's not an advertisement for me. It's more my experience in the Canadian microcap market. And then we'll talk about microcaps in general, sort of the macro for micro, what is happening in today's Canadian microcap market, and a little bit of education, set the table for some of the things that I look for in investments. So when you're out there today, looking at these companies, interviewing these CEOs, CFOs, hopefully some helpful tips for you. Okay, so I've been a broker for 37 years. For 25 years, I've honed what I thought was a Canadian small cap strategy. Now, if it's Canadian and it's small cap, it's micro cap. So realistically, I was honing a micro cap strategy for our clients. 80% of the money I manage is actually RSP. So we're taking people's retirement funds and putting them into small micro cap businesses. That takes a certain knowledge. It takes a certain risk reward kind of attitude that, again, I've honed over the years. We don't do any mutual funds. We don't do any bonds. We don't do any ETFs. We manage $150 million, and it's 90% in microcaps and 10% in cash, looking for the next great microcap story. What companies are considered? We've had to go upscale a little bit. Now we're into $200 and $300 million companies because we manage a lot more money, because we've created a lot more money. So, you know, we'll go up to $200-$300 million. Before it was less than $100 million. These are businesses, some with proven assets, revenues, profits, balance sheets, all of those. We don't generally consider, for the purpose of this talk, junior mining companies. Wasn't something we felt we could put people's money into. There was commodity risk, there's exploration risk. It's a different skill set. So they are generally not considered in our strategy. So again, this is a strategy that was inherently taking on riskier stocks. Small caps, it's a generalization, they're riskier than large cap. Now, I go back long enough that Nortel went bankrupt. I can remember General Motors going bankrupt. So not all large caps are safe, and not all small caps are risky. Our clients 25, 30 years ago, they were like me. They were 40, they were young. Maybe they had 100, 200K to invest. These are people that needed wealth creation, not wealth management. $100,000, you don't need that managed. You need that invested. Okay? So that's where we honed our chops. This is a slide that we created 25 years ago, and it really sort of stood out to me and shaped what I was trying to do as an advisor. So we said a couple was 40, maybe they had a mortgage, kids to put through college, they've got $100,000. They could take that $100,000 and put it in a GIC and get 2%. That was 25 years ago. After 15 years, they'd have $135,000. They could maybe step into some blue chip stocks, buy some banks, get some bonds, mutual funds, maybe average 5% for the medium balanced portfolio. And after 15 years, they'd have a little over $200,000. But if somehow they could get 15% for 15 years, by the age of 55, they've had $800,000. And if you keep getting decent returns over the next 10 years, they had a retirement. Now, I would say today's couple might look more like they've got $200,000 to invest. So just double the numbers. You know, you're 55, you got 1.6 if you get 15% for 15 years. That is not easy. There are crashes in between in those times. They happen, they will happen. There's also bull markets that happen in those times. And through the graces of microcaps, sometimes you can get some exceptional winners that can drive returns. That was what we set out to do for our clients. So the whole strategy was really formed around one tenet. Paul touched on it for sure. But within traditional asset classes that you can invest in, individual equities offer the greatest potential for portfolio performances. Only individual stocks can get you those types of returns. Also, when we did our research, clearly over the history of investing to 300 years, equities over time outperform other traditional investment classes. Second to lastly, over time, small caps proved that they outperform large caps over extended periods. And value stocks, those undervalued by the market, often outperform growth stocks in the long run. So we started looking for equities, small cap equities, and we started building clients' portfolios around these tenets. So what happened in the preceding next 25 years? Oh, sorry. There was a slide I threw in. I'm not going to read all this, but suffice to say, Warren Buffett is a big small cap fan. Unfortunately, he was such a great investor that he had to go up market. But as even Warren and Buffett would point out, he could probably have done way better just investing in small caps. And a little known fact, but Berkshire Hathaway, his original company that he took over, that was a stock, was actually a small cap business. He first bought it at $7.50, and he took control of it around $14 a share and used that as a platform to build his investment wealth. The one thing when we started and embarked on this strategy that we knew we would have to do, and which I would encourage you if you are investing in micro and small caps, is diversification. It's the most important tenet of all. These companies are illiquid, they're micro caps, the odd one is not going to make it for sure. Over time, just diversifying, what we found in this strategy was just having more ponies in the race increased your odds that one of them would become a thoroughbred. sometimes I was even shocked, the one that became a winner. Paul put up a slide the other day, Cal Nano, for half an hour ago. You know, I bought that stock in 2011 at 8 cents a share. 15 years later, it's $1.50. So, going back to our original couple who gave us 100 grand, I can say 20, 25 years later, we were successful. We got them through the eye of the needle, and these couples now that gave us 100K, 200K are worth $1 million, $2 million, and then some. We know the strategy works. We've honed it. We've perfected it. This is not an advertisement for me. This is an advertisement for the power of microcaps and getting a truly portfolio-changing experience into your portfolios. So with that, enough about me. We'll start talking about the current Canadian microcap environment. So last year we were here, we talked. This is a slide from last year. It said, why invest now? We said there's a lot of rubble. The bubble had burst in small cap bill in 2021, in the spring of 21. No one was buying small caps through 2022, 2023 to a degree. It was risk off. Interest rates were rising. I called it one of the three best buying opportunities I had seen this century. The other two, obviously, during crashes as well. We were able to buy companies at historically low valuations. And oddly enough, the economy was actually still pretty resilient, and yet no one was taking any risk. A year later, after this prognostication, the TSX is actually flat. So, ta-da, wasn't maybe the best call in the world, except if you look under the surface, which, as Paul talked about, in the last year, we have seen microcaps and small caps starting to greatly outperform. Even though the venture exchange is flat, there have been many, many outsized performance winners. ADF Group, we talked about them. We started buying these, this stock at $1.50. It went to $18. Last year, you could add it at $4.50. Cipher, last year it was between $3 and $4. I think a month and a bit ago, it hit $19. Cal Nano, my clients and I bought this private placement at 15 cents with a full warrant at 25 cents. Yesterday it hit $1.50. By the way, all of those shares are now free trading and it's still $1.50. NTG Clarity Network, 15 cents. Today it's $1.35, went to $1.90. All of these stocks are stocks that myself and my clients have owned. BioRim, Paul talked about that. That could have been had last year at 70 cents. Today it's 240. I own that one. Enterprise Group, one of our biggest winners. We bought 8 million shares of this company between 35 and 42 cents in 2022, 2023. Today, yesterday, it traded 700,000 shares over $2. McCoy Global, last year you could have had it for $1.50. Today it's 2.25. My clients and I own that. Vital Hub was between 2.50 and 3. The other day it hit $9. My clients and I own that. Sorry I have to keep saying that, but for purposes of their filming this, I do have to say that. Paul also had a few other examples. So what we're telling you is that microcaps are winning again. 2021, 2022, it was risk off. It was a wall of selling. Didn't matter what the companies were doing, how much money they were making. No one was buying them because it was deemed too risky to be in microcaps. So the good news is winners are winning. And that's huge. That's a huge tailwind, and it will help going forward. The bad news is we've got a bifurcated market. Okay? Losers are still losing. So the companies that are making money and that are growing and growing their profits, investors are coming down market and looking for them and finding them and buying them up. The companies that look like they still aren't profitable, maybe there's a threat of dilution, they may have to issue shares, they still are struggling to get an audience. My estimation may be going forward, some of these companies may have to restructure, roll back. Not all will get that opportunity, but some will. NTG Clarity that I showed you at 15 cents, they rolled themselves back 5 for 1. 3 cents went to 15, and 15 cents went to $1.80. That is still going to happen going forward, so look for those opportunities. So in 2023, we made the case for investing that the Canadian dollar was trading near all-time lows. 2024, today, still the case. It's a little better than it was, but it's still trading near all-time low. This is good for Canadian companies who sell their goods to the U.S. It means their goods are cheaper. We said that North America is the strongest economy in the world. Still is today. Check. There's a great deal of re-onshoring going on in North America. That's going to provide for a lot of investment and a lot of business. That is still happening today. Check. The Inflation Reduction Act and the CHIPS Act. This is going to unlock hundreds of billions of dollars into the North American economy. That money is starting to flow. So check, check. In 2023, we pointed out that many Canadian-based microcap companies are inherently cheaper than their counterparts. That will be today, tomorrow, probably forever. And there's a reason for that. These are small businesses. You can't give them double-digit multiples until they prove themselves. The average price earning in 2023 on the S&P was 23 times in America. It's about 15, 16 in Canada. Lately, Toronto's had a little uptick. The PE ratio today on the S&P is still 23, so the average. So I would say American is starting to flatten out and broaden, and money is starting to flow into Canada and look for some of these cheaper valuations. And again, there are no cheaper valuations in a lot of Canadian microcap businesses. And some microcaps trade at a discount to even their breakup value. That still exists today, so check as well. So look for gems amongst the rubble. The rubble is still out there, therefore there are still gems. The fallout from the bubble bursting in 2021 still exists today. And like I said, there's probably going to be some companies that roll back and will look attractive afterwards. Still, in 2023, I said it's one of the three best buying opportunities. We've obviously seen a lot of winners. Paul's presented some, I've presented some. So it's still decent out there. It's not as good as 2022 and 2023 when we were basically shooting fish in a barrel. The economy has been resilient. Still the case. The economy is still good out there. Inflation's been tamed a bit. Interest rates are now starting to subside. So still very proactive to go out and invest in businesses. So we made the case in 2023. that the worst is over, that interest rates cycle was closer to the end than the beginning. I think that was prophetic. It definitely ended in Canada last year around November, and we've seen a big uptick in risk appetite since then. The U.S. just had their first cut, so that's good. COVID, supply chain, inflation, all of those things have abated. And then I would also say that commodity prices are upticking. We don't invest in exploration companies, but I can tell you the Canadian microcap market does better when commodity prices are up. Gold is at an all-time high. Copper's constructive, uranium's up. This will help the average Canadian investor, and it will help the Canadian microcap market. I would argue, just as Paul was saying earlier, winners attract investment. So I would argue that today we have stronger tailwinds than we even had last year. In the end of the day, when it came to buying stocks, 2022, 2023 was low-hanging fruit. Even this little gaffer could get himself an apple. 2024, 2025, you're going to have to get on a ladder, look a little higher up the tree, but there is still abundant fruit. Okay, so microcap education, these are just a few tips we're going to try and pass along to you guys, and hopefully you find them constructive, can use them when you're evaluating some of these companies. Things over my 25 years of investing in these businesses that I've come to learn. Okay, the average microcap success story is a 10-year-old overnight sensation. Some of these companies can sit there for 6, 7, 8 years, making a bit of money, losing money 1 year, making money another year. But every once in a while, these businesses, either it's their time, whatever it is they sell, the market wants, or they figured out how to sell their product, and they get on a roll. And what you'll see is that that company that sat there for 8 years, whose share price was flat or down, very quickly has this huge game of catch up. And you can get a company that was 30 cents for 6 years, and within 3 years, it's $4. That happens a lot. If you get there at the right time, it can be incredibly lucrative. So, what's going to make those companies take off that have been languishing? You got to look for those businesses that have turned a significant corner. Have they figured out how to become profitable? Is it their time for their product? I always joke, you know, there's two things you don't want to be as a business, and that's too far behind the curve and sometimes too far ahead of the curve. I've had the good fortune in a couple of cases of being in companies that were so far ahead of the curve, no one would buy them. And then all of a sudden the curve caught up to them and the stock became a 10 bagger in 2 years. Look for a catalyst to their profitability. When you're talking to them, you and every analyst can look at their old results. Really what you want to find out is where they're going. Has there been a change to that company's business that will create a change to its share price? That makes sense? Okay. Another thing I've noticed over the years, I've been in a lot of companies that make, you know, 100, 200K a quarter, and it just does not excite the market. I know brokers that make more than that in a quarter. They're not public companies, okay? But when they cross the lexicon and they get to 500K a quarter, all of a sudden they're on all sorts of radar screens and their stocks start to do better. And 500K, I'm talking net income, not like EBITDA or EBITDAC, EBITDAR, adjusted EBITDA. That's another beauty. I'm talking real net income. Because now that company's making $2 million a year. They can go to trade shows. They can hire new salesmen. Chances are they can get on a roll. Okay? Secret sauce. This is a game about getting your business profitable in as few shares as possible. So I look for companies that get their business profitable within 25 or 40 million shares. That gives them a serious amount of court. By the time they're a $100 million market cap, they're a $4 stock. So always ask how many shares are outstanding, where are you in this process? Lastly, in this game, it is so important to hang on to your winners as long as possible. You'd be shocked when these companies get on a roll and finally figure it out and get profitable, just how long that roll can last. I've had a 50-cent stock go to $100. I sold it at 8. I was a little shocked at how long that roll could last. So conclusion, we buy a basket of businesses. We eliminate a lot of the risks through diversification. We use fundamental analysis to assist in finding undervalued businesses. And we look for companies that have been in existence for maybe 7, 8, 10 years. These companies trade at a much lower multiple than their counterparts. And we focus on their businesses to make sure that our investment's on the right track. And most importantly, we're buying companies at the steep end of the growth curve. If we get it right, we can super get it right. I'm going to give a couple of quick examples, and then we're going to wrap this up. BioRheem. This is a 10-year chart. I've been talking to the CEO of BioRheem for longer than 10 years. That whole flat period of 6-7 years, that's me and my clients buying. Okay? So this is clearly an example of an overnight sensation that's taken maybe 10 or 15 years. Now, the other thing I'd like to point out about BioRheem, my clients and I, oh, by the way, I have to mention, I own 270,000 shares of BioRheem because I've been buying it for a long time. That's personal. My clients own over 2 million shares of it. So we own approximately 30%, a little under, you know, about 25% to this company. So BioRheem only has 15 million shares out. They've got a $60 million backlog of business currently. They started to become serially profitable each quarter versus the previous 5 years where it was profitable 1 year, not profitable the next. Big change. You can see what's happening with the stock. Now, with 15 million shares out, if this company becomes a $100 million company, the share price will be $7.50. Serious torque. McCoy Global, interesting thing about this company, they only have 25 million shares out. 2 weeks ago, you could have bought them under $2. It's a $50 million market cap. This company has $40 million in working capital, no debt. They'll do $50-plus million in sales, profitable this year. They're here. I would invite you to look at them. Again, I own 100,000 shares. My clients own 10% of this company. We own 2.5 million shares. I've never seen a balance sheet this good, a business this mature, inside of 25 million shares in a microcap market. Enterprise, the bell of the ball for me. We bought 8 million shares when no one else was buying, between 35 and 40 cents. I own 175,000 shares. My clients owned 8 million at those prices. Here's a stock that has gotten on a roll and continues to stay on a roll. It's $2. I would highly recommend you go see their story, but They had a product that was a game changer. No one else has it. There's a moat around their business, and now they're rolling. If you look, don't look at the charts above, but look at their revenue and income, and you can see how that stock through 2021 got on this serious roll, and it's continued. The number for 2024 is a six-month number. So that $20 million they did in 6 months, that was more than what they did in 2021. So look for those ever-increasing revenue and profit numbers, and that'll guide you and make it much easier to stay in a winner. And that's what it's about. If I'd have sold all my enterprise at $0.80, I'd have left a lot of money on the table. Don't leave money on the table. It's what's going to make your portfolio really have much better returns. So with that, happy hunting, good luck, and I hope you learn something.